Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And that, but if you're gesturing like you're in the round,
vodka.
Because you are, yes.
That's pure. The with, pure.
That's a weird
with
camera
the beer,
shot.
And you're, and Mike, as I stand up real quick, it's like, let me tell you about the arts.
Oh, so he's waving it around?
That is so accurate is what he's doing right now.
I would go home with friends that had to go home. Like, I would go to their house.
Okay.
Like, when they had to go home, like, I got to go home. I was like, okay, I'll come with you. And I'm sure every parent that saw that little Hispanic kid show up with their kid, they'd be like, oh, I guess we're feeding him, too.
You know who you were?
That's what it was.
You were a previous era's Jabril.
Yeah.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, everybody. Well, you know, after coming in here yesterday and complaining about lack of sleep, I am here to tell you that yesterday evening, when my wife and I came in from our date night, which is basically date afternoon, and I had my little man watching a George Washington History Channel special with me, lying in bed with me, and Daddy went out.
Oh,
if anybody had 7:45, roughly that time I went out, woke up again at midnight, went back to sleep. So if you're talking total time, probably roughly 8 o'clock in the morning with about a 10-minute break at midnight and then 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
do you
fantastic.
Think it was because it was good. Exhaustion or was the George Washington special that bad?
It was the George Washington special left me because the guy that played George Washington was too skinny.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Well, it's just he didn't look anything like George Washington. Make the effort.
Yeah.
There are a million guys out there, especially if you're doing the History Channel recreation kind of thing where you can get the fourth, fifth, sixth tier actor to do it. Get a lookalike.
And pay for someone that's calorie appropriate.
Yeah, calorie appropriate.
Appropriate for George.
And if you can't find a man, Mike, a lot of old women look like George Washington, too.
Yes.
So you could go that direction.
Sure. And in this day and age, when everything's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
look at Hamilton.
We're trying to be inclusive.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's get everybody in the mix.
Yeah. Did they talk about wooden teeth?
Did you guys ever see Hamilton?
No, I'm waiting for the movie.
No, they're doing a film of this. Yeah. They're going to bring back the original stage folk. And they're going to capture it as it was on
Stage
Broadway.
Folk.
Well, they should.
And it's heyday.
Yeah. With Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, I believe that's
his
right.
Are they lead actors?
Yeah.
Right?
They're bringing back all the regional.
Well, it's the original. The original
for the
Broadway
movie. For the movie.
Means,
yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're bringing back the original. Which is the big deal.
Mike, I wanted to go to Puerto Rico, but all those earthquakes, let me tell you. that's where Hamilton currently is running.
Oh, it is?
With the original cast.
Yes, with the original cast.
He's helping out his island.
Yes, yeah. He's just doing the best he can. Yeah, 100%.
That's exactly what it is.
I'd like to go.
What is this, Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
Anyway, so we're here. We're, let's read the mailbag, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Oh, dear. I lost you.
Yes.
Call us back, won't you?
We're coming back.
It's all about you.
Wait, can you see me now?
Gotcha.
Incoming.
Do I have you? Hi, Rob.
Hello, Mike.
All right, is everything all right?
Yes.
Yeah, everything is fine.
You right, look now, fantastic.
Tighter, brighter for your listening pleasure. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm sorry, it's Wednesday. Hey, cats and kittens, it seems like I can't have a single week go by where TMOS doesn't infiltrate my life in some weird way. This week I was playing on a soundtrack session for filmmaker-composer friend of mine named Pete. He's based in Buffalo, and we met many years ago when AWB, that's Average White Band, this is Fred, this must be our guy Fred, played at the Trouf Music Hall, and since then he's always tried to somehow squeeze me onto his film projects. As we were setting up for the session, we were talking about how all of Pete's films have been shot in Buffalo, and how it's basically just a small town. I jokingly asked, so you probably know Tony Masiello. Pete was kind of surprised that I had any knowledge of Queen City politics. Then, of course, I went on to explain about TMOS and the Queen of Cheese Buffalo connection. Pete then says, let me tell you how small a world this is. The Masiellos live three doors down from me. So just wondering if Maddie knows the McGinnis family. Pathetically yours, Fred Vigder, average white band. So this guy would be Pete McGinnis, M-C-G-E-N-N-I-S.
Yeah, small world on my street.
You know him?
Yeah.
And is it called the Queen City?
It is.
Why?
I have absolutely no idea.
I thought not named after your dad.
Is there any, you know the McGinnises?
Intel on the McGinnises?
Did you interact with the McGinnises?
Not really. I mean, I'm sure my parents have more than we do. There weren't many like kids on my street growing up, so I don't know a lot of my neighbors, but I'll ask my dad about it.
Oh. Well, it says this guy is a filmmaker composer named Pete. Mm-hmm. So I would assume, would that be Pete McGinnis? And
have
does anybody
be.
Know? And if it is like the Farrelly brothers, where
oh my God.
They did everything in
That's
Rhode
right.
Island, that
Maddie's
that everything
dad
takes place in
live,
Buffalo?
Maddie's parents aren't going to live on some random block in Buffalo. They're going to live on the block in Buffalo.
Exactly, like the Beverly Hills.
Maddie, did you grow up on the block in Buffalo?
I wouldn't call it the block.
Bingo! Good
but
for
you. It wasn't like New York City where you have a mayor's mansion, right? Your mayor.
No, mayor's mansion.
You lived in the family home, correct?
Yes, we did.
Did you,
right, yes, Oscar.
Did you or did you not have a life size train go through your living room?
Like silver spoons?
We had to.
How you doing, Maddie?
I'm great.
She's embarrassed
sleepy.
She's embarrassed by her though. Wealth and fame.
That is nice.
Really?
Yes.
And she also probably doesn't want you to know that she dated the McGinnis boy.
I always forget, Maddie. How many brothers and sisters?
One older sister.
Just one older sister. Yeah.
Your parents have a favorite?
You already know.
I know. It's her.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So when your father won the mayoralty, you stayed in the family home, the family domicile.
We did. Yeah, I think they had that house before he was elected.
You know, I probably asked you this, but maybe not. And if I haven't, I'll ask. If I have, I've asked it. I'll ask it again. Let me ask you this question. What is the coolest thing you can remember about your father becoming mayor? What is the neatest thing as it impacted you? Something where you were like, wow, it's kind of cool to be the mayor's daughter. And I hope the answer isn't, there really wasn't anything.
No.
Because then I'm going to get...
She said a few different things in the past. You're going to love it.
What's the coolest thing about being the mayor's daughter when he just got elected?
I think... Well, when he just got elected, I was really young. But
How
I
old
think,
were you when he got elected?
Well, he was elected before I was even born, and he retired when I was 8.
In office.
Yeah.
Oh, he retired when you were 8?
Yeah, but afterwards, I would say growing up, we always got really nice concert tickets. So that was a lot of fun.
Because he knew a guy.
After he was out of office, did he get the schmoozes a little bit?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, you can't walk anywhere in Buffalo without somebody noticing him.
He's beloved, right?
Yeah, everybody loves him.
Did you get a handsome stipend to stay in your own home during the mayorship?
I don't know.
I would think there would have to be.
Stipend.
Don't you think there would be some sort of consideration from the city?
What, to stay in their own home? No.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think there is any mayor's mansion in Buffalo.
There's
it's
no mayor's
like
mansion. You understand? You either stay in certain cities like New York, you have the mayor's mansion, but you don't get mayor's mansions.
It was
in Buffalo.
My understanding in Buffalo, you could choose to through the courtesy of the city when you're elected to live in a hotel.
You want
to
try that again? Okay,
that's great. Look, what? You get into public office to serve the people,
right?
Not yes. for a free mansion.
That's right, or concert tickets,
but. There are cities, I'm sure, where you have the perks that go along with it. Look, there are mayors. There are cities in America where there are dogs that are mayors.
It's true. Right? That's true.
And then there are cities where running a real city
is... Yeah, but Buffalo's a real city. It's got an NFL franchise.
Yes, it's a real city. Yeah. But my point is, probably not a big enough city where you would have a formal living quarters that the mayor would move into.
Does D.C. have a mayoral mansion?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
No.
No, I don't think so. And in fact... Probably very few cities have you have the governor's mansion.
Of course.
I know that, right? There are a lot of governor's
mansions. D.C. should have a mansion with security. That way, Mayor Barry's Rolexes would have been safe.
That's true. Thank you. Thank you for that. Anyway, that's the guy. His name, I guess, would be Pete McGinnis.
Yes.
Right?
Mm. The block, Mike. The block.
The block.
The nice block. Growing up, Maddie, you live in the same house all your formative years?
I did, yeah. And they still live there now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's nice.
You know, I picture on a Buffalo Street, kind of a Home Alone mansion.
Exactly what I was thinking, like a John Hughes-styled home.
Maddie?
I've never seen Home Alone, so I don't know.
Oh, my God. She's so young.
Oh, my God.
She's so young. She's so young.
It's not that. It's just that, you know, she's of privilege and she's never been alone.
Okay. All right. Colonial? Was it a colonial?
No. No, I mean, it's pretty. I think it.
How big? How big? How are we talking?
Split level? How many bedrooms?
Four.
Four bedrooms? All right. Average suburban home. Yeah. Large suburban home.
That's baths?
It, you know.
Two and a half.
I see.
How close to the city proper?
Well, it's in the city of Buffalo. It's kind of in.
Was it kind of a townhouse?
No. I mean, it kind of looks like a suburban house, only it's in the city and it's next to a park and it's kind of in.
Asiello Park.
Is it still considered a decent neighborhood in the city?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it kind of. This is going to sound terrible, but it's kind of like the equivalent of Georgetown. In Buffalo. Like kind of that boutique-y.
Oh, well,
shopping.
That's great.
Yes, but I would expect nothing less.
So a great place to go home to, right?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
Right, that's good. That's
Mike lived in the same block in Manassas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of like the Georgetown of Manassas.
The Georgetown of Manassas. That's right.
I would say that's accurate.
Yes, your block. That's
The Georgetown of Manassas. Yeah. But my home, my childhood home,
yes.
I grew up in a, how many bedrooms did we have? We have one, two. We had a three-bedroom cape.
Yeah.
Oh, center chimney cape. No, center hallway cape, it was called. It was about 1,600 square feet.
And probably a fireplace sort of dead center in the as you came
fireplace
in.
Fireplace dead center in the house.
And very tiny upstairs because of the way
very
the roof
tiny,
is, right?
Very, very tiny upstairs.
Very much
but
like
two
big,
bedrooms upstairs.
Big Daddy's
but
house
both
was
with,
like that.
I moved into my sister's bedroom when I was a kid, and she, when she went to college, and I remember the sloping roof that I had all my NFL posters on.
Did you have a room with a chimney that went through it, like a pillar?
My parents, on the other side of the hallway, my parents' room had a chimney going through, without a fireplace,
right.
Had a chimney going through.
I would dare say that
that's
you
what I have now, Mike, but it's most of my house.
That's right. You tried to disassemble it?
Yeah.
No avail. It sounds like your house had the very similar layout to Big Daddy's house that he built right after the war.
Do you know, I am recently, I've been getting very, very nostalgic for my childhood home to go back there just for some reason. Maybe the Reaper's coming.
No,
maybe
I don't think it's
the
Reaper.
The Reaper's on the way. The Reaper's on the way. All right, next letter in the mailbag. Dear Mike, Rob, Oscar, I am hoping you read this to thank the TMOS fan club. My wife, Cheryl, passed away on January 15th. I posted it in the fan club because she was a fan, too. I remember on our second date in Spokane, a late lunch, Mike was doing his Marion Blackberry bit on the Don and Mike show. She started laughing hysterically and asked what I was listening to. I knew I would marry her right then. Her last Christmas gift to me was the bonus show. Oh. The fan club was beyond kind and generous. Several people even friended me on Facebook. Their generosity was above and beyond. You have the best fans in the world, and for an hour plus every day, the most in the midst of all this. I feel like I get to hang out with my three incredible friends and listen to their hilarious stories. This show is a true blessing to me, and I'm forever grateful. My warmest thanks, Dave McIntosh. Cheryl McIntosh was his too young wife that passed away, and they're from Dunedin, Florida. And our heart goes out to all those wonderful people in their family. And I'll just tell you, Dave, I have followed your posts online, and I think you paid beautiful tributes to your wife. You really, really have done her justice with sharing her with all of us. And, you know, it, as I said, it sounds like a cliche, but look, it'll never be the same. You know that. But hopefully it will get better. And I hope that for you. So thank you for sharing that. To Queen Maddie, her loyal jester pony, and the other guys on the show, I am celebrating the following days. Today, I turned 46. I think it was yesterday, Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
Now, today, the love of my life, Heather, married me 15 years ago. March 1st marks the 3-year anniversary of my wife's stroke.
This is a great story.
March 1st marks the 3-year anniversary of my wife's stroke. We wrote you shortly after it happened to let you know some of the family were suggesting that we skip our trip to see you in NOLA that year. Heather said that we were going to the doctors. Agreed. Heather said that we were going, and the doctors agreed. It was one of our best trips together, and more than enough reason to ride Amtrak a day and a half each way. Thank you. I don't want to be a taker, so I offer the following items in trade. Mike, check out Guests of the Ayatollah by Mark Bowen. Awesome book. May look intimidating, but reads very quickly. Rob, The Paul Lynde Show is on Antenna TV on Saturday night, Sunday morning, based on your location. Oscar, visit the Polynesian Cultural Center in Oahu. He's not going to be on Oahu, unfortunately. It's worth flying over from Maui. He knows that. It's worth flying over from Maui to spend some time. Also, take a day in Maui. Rent a Jeep. Drop the top and drive. Maui is so beautiful and so natural. Robert Aww. Cox, Richmond, Iowa. Loyal TMOS listener, bonus show subscriber, stationed in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, 204 to 206.
Mike, hey, it's a nice letter when all is said
I got
done.
Some intel on the trip.
Thank you, Rob.
They're definitely welcome. Renting a Jeep, so I know that's going to be happening. Good. They've had the whole
Is this itinerary. Just the third one?
Yeah, no more stroke stories?
No.
Is okay, this the third
thank
letter?
You, this is the last letter. It starts, hey, guys.
All right. Hey, guys. Great mailbag this week. Rob, the best you've ever done. Hey, guys, regarding last week's show, I have actually been to the Garden of Eden in the Keys, and the Yelp reviewer was correct. The top floor is open with plenty of plants. What he failed to mention was all of the bushes. Cheers.
Oh, my God.
Brian M. Brian M. Thank you very much. And we've got an extra 5 minutes here.
We do.
With that. Yeah, the Garden of Eden. Or as Paul, who I dropped off at the airport yesterday with my sister, refers to it, G-O-E.
Oh.
They claimed, we picked them up. I picked them up on, dropped them off at the airport yesterday, picked them up the night before. He claimed that they probably were seeing a G-O-E person, as he liked to call us, a G-O-E, Garden of Eden, seeing a G-O-E person in the restaurant that they were sitting in, because this woman came in. And she didn't have any tan lines, and she was wearing what he described was technically a dress, but more like a towel wrapped around her, like a towel getting out of the shower, and said that her tan was black, like she had been in the sun without clothing for a very, very long time, but they never made it into the GOE. And once again, I speculate that if you made it into the Garden of Eden, which, by the way, if you're just tuning in, is a clothing-optional watering hole in Key West.
But only the third floor, Mike.
You have to go up to the third floor.
Yeah.
It's like three different bars.
Yeah.
One on the bottom floor, which is like the, I don't know, the whistle stomper or whatever, and then a second one that's a music place, man. I don't know. And then the third, which has gardens and is open air, is the clothing optional bar. And as I speculated, and I don't know whether I'm right or not, I could be wrong, but I speculated that it would be like anything nudist that we had anything to do with in my radio career, which
was
always people that were shedding their clothes that did not appear to shed their clothes. That's really
it
what
wasn't,
it was.
Ideally, I think Florida and I think nudist, you expect certain things. And then when you actually went into the Yelp reviews for this place, took a deeper dive.
Yeah.
Right.
They were very clear that there's a lot of people with clothes on.
Gawking.
Gawking.
Yeah. Perv
looking,
people that don't want to take their own
chatting.
That want to look because Americans love nakedness.
Yeah.
That because we don't get nakedness. We're not as cool about nakedness as they are in other countries. So we like to go upstairs with our clothes on our vacation with our tube socks and our sneakers, go up to the top floor to see if we can see any
Right.
That's really what it's all about. Yeah. That's what we do. But that's it. And now that we have read the mailbag, the greatest mailbag ever.
Now, you know what? Let me offer this. Without that mailbag,
both with brevity and with content, it was stellar.
We got to really do a deep dive on Maddie's home in Buffalo, and I think on that alone the mailbag stands.
Yeah, I would say, what if we had eight of those? Eight, maybe there's an eight-letter cap on mailbag.
Okay.
You know what? No, here's the thing. Yeah. I know if Rob is holding himself to this standard, I have nothing to worry about. Now we can start the show. Thank you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Hey, Rube, before I forget, I really appreciate you meeting me for lunch. I know how busy you are and how tired you are.
What are friends for, Jerry?
Can't do 6 weeks. Can't do 6 weeks.
You're talking about schedule. You're the one who looks tired.
Yeah, I know. It's the show. pressure, the ratings, same guests, same questions. Just not enjoying it anymore.
That's the worst.
Listen, I really wish you would think about it again, okay?
He's starting again. He's starting up again.
Hey, it's not that big a deal to think. I'm asking you to just think.
I'm thinking. You're always telling me to think. That's all I do is think day and night about it. How can I not think about it? I mean, I've been sitting here at lunch with you, which I knew is the reason you invited me for in the first place, and all I'm sitting here and eating for is to get guilty with you, right?
I'm asking you to take over the show for 6 weeks. What's 6 weeks?
I'll give you anything, but don't ask me to do 6 weeks. I can't take over the show for 6 weeks. I can't even take over my own life for 6 weeks. And you're asking me to do something that's impossible. It's impossible. Don't you understand? What?
What are you doing down there so late?
It's impossible. I'm trying to tell you that. What do you want? You want the tears to come out of my eyes?
There's got to be a way you can work it out. It's just 6 weeks.
Excuse me, Mr. Pupkin, do you think you could?
Yeah. Sure. What's your name, dear?
Dolores.
Dolores? Yeah. That was my father's name.
Will you give me an answer?
All right, you got the 6 weeks. I'll give you the 6 weeks. Don't bother me. I'll give you the 6 weeks. What can I say? You happy now?
You're a tough man, Rupe.
You gotta be in this business.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
That's a movie called The King of Comedy with Robert De Niro and Jerry Lewis and... hard to find,
you know,
on streaming services, correct?
The entire movie in chunks is available on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah, they're numbered, so just search
it.
But
I mean, as far as like going to an Amazon Prime,
no, I think it's
search King of Comedy and get it. I'm not sure.
I don't know that it's out there. It is. They have a very nice Blu-ray release. I know everyone says that's ancient, but if you really want to appreciate it, that's an available
Blu-ray.
Way to get it.
I'm talking about streaming.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't stream a lot of stuff because it's
you don't
not movies. No, not movies.
Really?
If I like a movie, I buy it.
Isn't it digitally better to see a movie now than
Blu-ray? Why would you buy it?
Because, for example, Mike wants to see The King of Comedy. If it's not available, he doesn't have it. And I have it because I bought it.
Yeah, but are you going to burn it onto...
Yeah, you just said you don't buy, you don't stream.
Right. You burn it onto a WAV file or like an MP4 and send it over to him?
No. I'd say...
Are you a pirater?
No, I'm not a pirater. I'm perhaps the most honest of all because I own the movie.
You get Blu-rays because you like to have them.
Well, yeah, because you can't, once
hold
I own the Blu-ray,
rub them.
The service can't take it away.
Yeah, but what if there's an unfortunate fire and they all get burnt up?
Well, then I'll probably be dead and you can mention it in the eulogy. Because, you know, I'm not going to get up. The smoke detectors probably need batteries. I don't know.
Thank you. We are live from the Podcast Village Studios.
Thanks for taking it there.
Washington, D.C., the Mike O'Mara Show is on right now. A worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spending the time with us and spreading the word about our show. From King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, Chugwater, Wyoming, Chrome, California,
boom.
Tongue Island, Scotland, Hump Tulips. Hump Tulips, Washington.
That's why they arrested that Dutch guy.
Aswan.
Yes.
Egypt. It's not next to Hump Tulips.
No, Hump Tulips.
I would give $1 million to know how that name came about. Hump Tulips.
I think
is that
you
a particular
know.
Type of tulip?
I'd love to know. I think you know.
The show today is brought to you by Legacy Box. Hey, let's think about the future of your past. Is your family's legacy digitally preserved so it can be passed down for generations to come? Legacy Box is simply the best way to convert all your old analog media to DVD, thumb drive, or even convenient digital sound downloads. We love that. You can easily share with other members of your family. You can do it easily with Legacy Box. Just go online, purchase the box you need. You'll get a Legacy Box kit, and you'll fill it with all your media. Slap on the prepaid mailing label and send it back. In a couple of weeks, you'll get all your originals back, plus perfectly preserved digital copies ready to watch, share, and relive. Over 750,000 families, including me, Oscar and Rob have trusted Legacy Box. You should too. It is the most affordable time machine trip you'll ever take. We love it. I got old home videos put on a thumb drive. Fantastic quality. Watching my parents smoke. Sorry. I really should remember more than that about their honeymoon trip. But my father stole an 8mm.
I thought he borrowed, Mike. He borrowed.
He reappropriated.
Yeah, I think he probably did return it. Yeah. I didn't grow up with it. At least I didn't know that. Of course, I wasn't born yet when they took it. But he took a camera
right.
on his honeymoon in like the 50s and took films
so
of
cool.
my mom. And my mom was so beautiful. And my dad smoked. It was really just fascinating. But that's the type of thing you want to put in a legacy.
I found my great-grandfather on there.
Yeah.
Really excited.
Yes.
Get started preserving your past today. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to get 40% off your first order. Save your time and memories. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS and save 40%. I was talking to my sister about it this past the weekend we were down in Key West, Florida. So welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Do we need to goose the mailbag a little bit? Is that what we have? I mean, you gave me three
really
letters, two of which
anymore.
Were about strokes and death.
Well, one of them
I'm
had a very positive. One of them was a very
your
positive
your feeling
one.
About death and my feeling about death. I am an Irishman who runs away from
also,
it.
Also, Mike's closer to death.
I
wouldn't say that.
I think about it all the time. I don't, you know, you love it.
Well,
I've never known anyone that loves celebrity death more than you do. You're like all your mobbers who want to post about it. Like, do you have anything today about the lady from Good Times?
Oh, Jeanette Dubois, of course. I have some remarks prepared.
Mike, you remember being on the air and having to do a read for two different car dealerships right back to back?
Yes.
And then when that happened, it would like drive you nuts because you're like, how?
Or when you would do a live read and you would have a car dealership.
Yeah, so.
But Oscar,
still,
did
right?
you listen to the
continuity.
Mailbag where one was a thank you for a memoriam and one was the fact that a lady used our show to motivate herself to recover from a stroke?
Yeah, but yes. still was.
Two
it was,
different
they were
model
related.
Cars in my eyes.
Well, then
they
you need
related.
To open your eyes because they're
they
not
related.
Related. No, one is death, one
yes?
is life.
Yeah, come on. I don't want to touch you broadcasting 101. They weren't together. I went from death to stroke.
But the stroke
that's
is
a stroke to death. It doesn't matter what the nuances
story.
Are.
It's a success
well,
story.
Well, I disagree. If he was going to play both of them, it would go stroke, then death. Technically, right?
Well, no, that's only in real life.
I don't know. Maybe I've been thinking about it a lot. Maybe I'm hypersensitive to it because I've been thinking about nostalgia and, you know, there's something in news you may not need today that's not.
Is it dark?
I just want to say it's not dark at all, but it certainly is something you will get a chuckle about. And as soon as you hear the story, you will immediately think of one particular individual in the room, and that individual is me, and then I'll let it shake out. Now that I've made more of it
than I ever wanted
to make more of it,
you
are arguing about your two-letter mailbag that had, you know, just it caught me by surprise.
I'm just curious, do you think there's anything going on that is making you embrace the temporariness of life?
I think when I see my sister and we talk about our parents, and we think about, but that has nothing to do with the fact that I thought that at a certain point I would like to take my son up to Connecticut to my childhood home and show him where I grew up. Because I think on the show we may have been talking about the way kids play and the way kids get out and do things. And I was thinking about how I've talked to a lot of people about one of the biggest differences between my childhood and children of today was that literally we would be let out of the house in the summertime at 8-9 o'clock in the morning. We'd eat breakfast. We'd go out. We didn't have something like a swim practice or little league.
Yeah.
We would be let out of the house, and I would play out in the woods around the house and in the yards of other kids from morning until night.
Yeah.
Until
the streetlights came on. That was the rule.
Kathy was talking about how different homes had different sounds. One lady had a cowbell.
Yeah.
My mom had an air horn that would call us for. I'm not kidding
you.
Did you
ever get the yoo-hoo?
Yeah. We said, Mike, dinner. Because we were playing around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But we would go miles into the woods.
Sure.
And have, play cowboys and Indians and have forts and play army. And then later on, we would sneak off and drink Boone's Farm apple wine when we were 13 years old and do things. I mean, that's the rite of passage. That no longer, I don't believe that exists for any children anymore.
My parents would never really ask for us to come home. We just knew eventually.
Would they lock the door from the inside?
We would get hungry and have to ring the doorbell.
Yeah. Did you have, well, see, you're a totally different, you're an anomaly because of the latchkey factor where you'd be on the subway.
I would go home with friends that had to go home. Like I would go to their house.
Okay.
Like when they had to go home, like I got to go home. I was like, okay, I'll come with you. And I'm sure every parent that saw that little Hispanic kid show up with their kid, they'd be like, oh, I guess we're feeding him too.
You know who you were?
That's what it was.
You were a previous era's Jabril.
Yeah. I probably was.
Your mom and dad were working their asses off. And you were.
I would literally. Some kids be like, I got to go home. We get in trouble. Like, all right, I'll go with you. Like, and as a kid, you're not going to say, no, man.
You'd go home at the dinner hour.
Yes, yeah. I'd go with
them. Oh, my God. And you'd walk into that. Did you have a lot of dinners? At neighbors' houses?
So many dinners at friends' houses. So many dinners.
Uninvited.
Uninvited.
You just sort of
I thought parents just made food for families and friends. I didn't know they probably had portioned out. They're like, oh, this kid's here now. I remember my
childhood, hours and hours and hours and hours, unsupervised. I mean, not a parent around.
Right.
Out there doing it all the time. And then come wintertime, I would skate. It's probably why I was a high school hockey player, because we would skate all day long. I told the story, but I skated so long I forgot to poop.
That's right.
And my sister wouldn't let me in the house.
There was urgency.
No. So
yes, it was urgency.
There's this thing happening.
You didn't get that on a movie, did you?
Did you have any supervision from adults when you were
not much.
A child?
But
you didn't play outside. You stayed inside.
One adult actually left early, so there you go.
Well, yeah, he's the part of a broken home.
As I come from a broken home. When I moved to Vienna, that was when I was in third grade, okay? It's between second and third grade.
Okay.
And we lived in a townhouse environment. It's still there. It's adjacent to Madison High School. It's called Mosby's Landing.
What was it called?
Mosby's Landing.
Is this Vienna?
Yeah. It's on the Oakton side of Vienna.
Hatred. This is where you got your hatred of Vienna.
Mike, if you would picture 9 courtyards of identical brown condominium homes.
Above ground, underground.
It served us well in that it was very, very brown, but it was right next to my high school. So by the time that I was going to high school, and actually when I went to Louise Archer, walking distance.
Oh my
school,
God, that's
which
fantastic.
Was great.
Yeah. That is
and
fantastic.
Also,
you do that.
There were so many homes in close proximity. There was always something going on outside. I did play outside there.
What did you play? I can trace back to.
I mean, do you remember the sports?
I remember. I think there wasn't. No, it was never like sports.
Miming.
We would play catch. We would, of course, improv games.
I have horrific memories of childhood, like bad behavior.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Yes. Of other kids that really
fire?
Effed me up. No, usually involving animals, and I'm not proud
of that. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Because we lived in a semi-rural area with ponds and wildlife.
They were available.
Some of these
terrifying.
Little douches got pellet guns, and they would shoot at squirrels with pellet guns and shoot at blue jays with pellet guns. And they would, it was just, I didn't like that, the whole idea of, and maybe that's why I turned
terrifying.
Off to it now. But I mean, also, there would be... as we got older, I'm thinking out loud right now, and I'm realizing maybe that was why these same guys that did a lot of that were the same guys that ended up selling drugs on our street. And so maybe that's why I backed off, because I associated their behavior with really, there's just nothing.
They never progressed
to
domesticated animals? Because there was always, there's always someone in the neighborhood, it seems, as a thing for cats. My dad grew up with a guy that would go after cats, and it's a very bad thing. Yeah.
A lot of nasty stuff. Do you have any traumas, Rob, from your childhood where you were freaked out by some behavior? Like, for example, I was never a kid that really liked to do the pranks on Halloween. Egging cars was a big one in my neighborhood.
I got in big trouble as a kid. I remember.
And I didn't like it.
Nuts.
I didn't like to be part of it. I didn't like
I was scared.
The fear of getting in trouble.
Scared.
I hated it.
I was bullied by some guys with snowballs once.
Yeah.
It was pretty traumatic. I ended up having to run. Yeah. It was bad.
Wait, that's a Christmas story.
No. This is for true. No, that was.
Hey, guys, wait up. Wait up, guys. Wait up.
And that was my method of defense. I just fell to the ground.
In your snowsuit.
Like a crab.
No, it was. This was when I was in middle school, and it was a longer walk to get home because I was walking actually to Big Daddy's house because he lived closer. I went to Longfellow Intermediate in Falls Church, and it was about a mile and a half, so I could make that walk. And these kids, big kids, probably high schoolers, started after me with snowballs. And it was like after the snow, so it was like icy snowballs.
Aww.
So you were running away from them, and they were chasing you with snowballs?
To a certain extent. I don't think I had enough I wasn't desirable enough for them to really pursue me, but I was convenient at the moment. And I was
walking
around. So you
just got bopped with the snowballs?
4 or 5 times, yeah. I mean, it was.
Really? And just because you're middle school and they're big kids.
Yeah, big kids.
Walking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean,
kids can be cruel. Kids can be cruel.
Especially the middle school age. That's all they know.
Yeah. Middle school is horrible. John Burney, who was on our show.
Actually, you know, it might have been elementary school, because I also went to, here's a good school, Haycock Elementary.
Mm. Haycock?
And
Longfellow. They're both right next to each other. Yeah.
Haycock.
That was the official greeting, Mike.
But were you allowed to play all day? Were you supervision?
Yeah.
What was the state of supervision?
Yeah, I was latchkey kid too. By the time I was in third or fourth grade, I was coming home to an empty house. Mm. My mom would get home at about, you know, 5, I guess. But that gave me a couple hours, and I was, you know, go home, drop off your backpack, and outside to find out what's going on.
Right. I think so. So really, and I'm, you know, I got almost 20 years on you guys. So, I mean, I'm thinking then, when did it flip? When did it flip where, you know, kids have all this super, I'm terrified at the prospect of letting my son, I let him go down the street the other day because we have a kid in the neighborhood now to go down and play.
Right.
And it kind of wigged me out when I did that.
I'm not. What would happen to us wasn't safe. It just, and also the propensity right now that we hear all these stories. It's a story last night on the nightly news. And I know I'm an old man because I get home and DVR it and watch it at like 11 at night. Mm-hmm. There's a little 6-year-old girl. Neighbor killed her. And then neighbor.
South Carolina, North Carolina. Then he killed himself.
Like 30, yeah. The guy was 30 years old. He had so much evil in him. He killed a 6-year-old and then killed himself.
Do you ever wonder though that there was that stuff going on when we were kids? We just didn't hear about it.
There's so much. That's my point. There's so much information out there. Why wouldn't you have a camera on your kid at all times? Because
do you believe it's that? And listen, I'm probably going to appear dumb asking this question, but you said it probably happened when we were kids too.
Right.
We just didn't hear about it. Do you think that's true, or do you think that maybe just what we're exposed to online and the ability to get content online. I'm not a big believer that you go to the movie and then you act like with the movie. I'm not a believer that you listen to a rock album that turns you into an evil. Let me finish. I listen to a rock album and it turns me into a monster. But I do think that you can be exposed to certain content online that perhaps precipitates a certain amount
or desensitizes you
in deviant individuals.
Maybe desensitization is a thing, but
desensitization.
What is a tough word? Don't become desensitized.
Desensitized.
That's right. But always know this: evil has always been around. The ability to hurt another person is as old as the Bible. So whether or not it walks hand in hand and that sort of escalates the process, I don't think it creates it. But I do think
when you're talking
also,
about that, Harbaugh, having a 6-year-old with this recent story.
This is fresh.
I followed this story where this young girl got off the school bus and was abducted from her front yard where she was playing. And then murdered in the neighborhood by some excuse my language, but But I think that perhaps the evil we're talking about did exist in our day, because you're talking about something in the Carolinas that we all become aware of all over the United States, Mike, and the world now. You know,
think about for me at least, I can't speak for you all, but the real awakening of being abducted my parents a pass, they're foreigners. They didn't know it was probably not appropriate to have their 8-year-old just riding the metro bus or metro rail on his own. So, I get it. They're just like, oh, this is how I get to work. You can get to work this way. But for me, I think what really happened was the advent of America's Most Wanted and the John Walsh story and how he lost his kid opened our eyes. Yes, we got you really clear and perfect, crisp. He opened our eyes that this is a possibility. And I remember when America's Most Wanted came out, there was such a publicity blitz on how he lost his son.
Right.
That I was like, wow, you can just be taken. That's the first time I ever thought that you could be taken. My mom used to warn us as a kid, if you remember, no dejen de que toquen la cosita. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal.
I think there was evil. Obviously, there's been evil, as you said, Rob, from the beginning. My question would be, do we have more of these creeps that are floating around our society just because of the exposure to all things evil that we get in our society. You can go online now, and if you have a propensity to see anything you want to see, you can see it online. And I think that breeds more bad behavior. That's just my opinion.
They can find others that share their view, certainly.
Or they can just celebrate what they like by watching it in the comfort of their own bedroom.
That technology works both ways. And I'm not saying the exposure to that type of world, which is insidious and evil. I'm saying that now you can get on an app on a phone through public records, find out how many sexual predators and what degree of sexual offense is around you.
Right. That's true.
You bring up a good point.
It does work both ways. How much, I'm wondering, does it counter the amount of predators that are encouraged? Maybe that's not the right word. Encouraged, created, furthered by their,
fostered.
Fostered, that starts in the privacy of their own home.
And also,
then they act out on it.
I think in the last, with the rise of social media, also we've seen the rise of movements to get the word out and the dirty little secret mentality that existed maybe as late as even the 1960s. That's going away. People are talking about it. And so
look at the Boy Scouts of
America. It's going to raise awareness. Oh,
what's that?
Boy Scouts of America.
Bad week for them.
You know, it's so weird. I got a visceral reaction yesterday at the grocery store, seeing a Boy Scout leader getting into a van. I just kind of had a creep feeling about that. Just weird. Just a weird world. Well, for those of you that tuned into the Mike O'Mara Show, let's hit the music for the commercial, Rob.
Yes, please.
For those of you that tuned into the Mike O'Mara Show for a nice, happy chat today, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. That was our discussion of serial killing and child murder. And that's on the heels of talking about death and strokes in the mailbag. Maybe we can come back and talk about torture and the brush fires in Australia or something else that can we possibly pick up the let's talk about your night at the auction. That happy?
That's
did anybody
fun.
Drop f-ing dead there
fun.
By any chance?
Fun. No death.
No death.
All right, we'll
no
take
death.
A break. We'll come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
There's nothing I like better on a cold, lonely winter's night than to relax in front of a roaring fire with a glass of wine and having a laugh. And there's no better way than with a TMOS bonus show. It's an hour of unfiltered dry baldry and jocularity that only costs you pennies a day. Cozy up with the antics of my men, Mike, who's always charming, Oscar, who's getting it done, and Rob, who's oh so cuddly. Plus, you cannot forget Maddie, the brains of the outfit, and that manly man pony who's oh so satisfying. Your subscription keeps the laughs coming, plus you have access to the entire bonus show library. Click the banner at MikeOmiraShow.com to begin laughing today. The TMOS bonus show, because a lonely girl like me needs something to cuddle with.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. Just last night, tweaked up to 90, had a little lower back thing. I wanted to make a nice, firm mattress for myself. So I used my Sleep Number. Sleep Number to the rescue once again. Woke up today feeling amazing with my back. It's just incredible. From feather soft to super firm, you can adjust each side of your Sleep Number setting so it's just right for both of you as a couple. She gets her firmness, you get your firmness. Proper sleep strengthens immunity, increases the ability to focus, sharpens cognitive function, and improves emotional well-being. You got to go to Sleep Number stores and try their individual fit technology. Explore the science behind the bed. You can literally see your body's pressure points react to a Sleep Number 360 smart bed. That's their newest bed, and it's fantastic. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you sleeping comfortably through the night. Now, as I said it before, I tweaked mine up to a 90 last night. Carla's still 65 because she's perfect and she never changes anything. We love it. Discover proven quality sleep and save 50% on the 360 limited edition smart bed now during the Ultimate Sleep Number event only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com/TMOS. And when you go, tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's all me. It's all on me. I think I bring things, into that when I start talking about about getting nostalgic or thinking about my own mortality and all that. But, you know, I want to let's bring it into the now.
Yes. Sure.
And you guys had
live
your annual.
Life.
Now, when you had when you said you had your your annual auction.
Yes.
When I asked you the answer, Rob gave me one of his answers. Yeah, I think we're going to do it. And it was just like, was it? Did they request or did you go look for it? I mean, how often do they? Do they clever for you?
We do it every year.
Every year.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've done it. Now, you've done it longer than me. You've done it for 5 or 6
yes.
years, right?
Yes.
But here's the thing. I don't do anything every year unless I'm asked every year. Like, if I did an event last year and that clock on the wall went tick-tock, tick-tock, and I didn't get the little
we
from
get
the organizers.
Oh, yeah,
we get the ask.
We get
the ask. It didn't sound like that. Okay,
yeah, well,
because so
you did waver a little bit because we hadn't talked
Rob
about
Waver,
it.
Rob Waver, when
you,
I
you
asked
did,
him about
you did waver, and I was like, is there something wrong? Did we not get invited again?
No, no.
Well, who's the contact?
Rob is now the official contact.
Well, because Oscar never checks his email.
Yeah, well, not that email.
So you did get an ask.
Absolutely. And there was never a doubt to do it. It was just what we didn't know is how it was going to fall out. Because last year, we split it in half.
Mm-hmm.
We've each done it solo.
Yes.
Which is huge because it takes about, the night takes about 6 hours.
Yeah.
It's a long, long night. There are
wasn't
breaks and everything.
One year, maybe not last year, but the year before or something like that, wasn't one of the years you guys were, like you caused a problem or something?
No, I did.
They didn't. No.
I was
Rob,
a problem.
Rob was a problem.
I was never
what
out
happened?
Of control. They didn't like that I, when I took over for the second half of the evening, I came up to the staging area with a beer.
No, it was more like this. And look, with all the respect to Rob, you can drink and you can have a beverage. It's a different if you go and like just take a little, I always say a swig, like Mike is doing right now.
Right.
But if you're gesturing like you're in the round,
vodka.
Because you are. Yes.
That's pure. The with, pure.
That's a weird
with
camera
a beer,
shot.
And, you're, and Mike, as I stand up real quick, it's like, let me tell you about the arts.
So he's waving it around?
That is so accurate is what he's doing right now. Absolutely accurate.
Did you have it in your hand when you walked up to the microphone?
Well, likely, yeah. Probably. But I don't think that I was making any sort of untoward Foster Brooks-like gestures with it. I was just having a beer while I was up
there.
Was
it a cocktail? It was a cocktail party, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Oh, alcohol is, Oscar, you have
it's
to say.
It's but it's not, like, encouraged.
I don't know about that when they
it's
show
It's one
up
of those,
coolers.
Like, see no evil, hear no evil. We don't need to know about it. But we don't need to be on
so
in the middle of the stage.
So what was the degree of the formality of the auction itself? Was
the
there
auction
a podium?
Itself? No. It is in the Torpedo Factory, which is a great art space in Alexandria.
600 plus people.
And it is full
your
of
stage?
People. No, but no. They have like sort of the center area is clear with a huge screen that shows photos of the art.
Mm-hmm.
And
is
the
there
numbers
a riser?
Just a microphone. Good sound system. And they've got the main floor is filled. There's some back room classrooms that are filled. There are some patrons on the second
studios
level.
Studios that are filled.
Yeah, but also this year was new. They put a boat out on the Potomac where they had patrons also on the boat that were playing along
on
with the
auction. Water.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Really?
Yes. So it's a big deal.
So how did you worry that you might not get asked back?
No. I didn't.
I was asking Rob because he was the one with the beer.
Well, it seemed to. I think Oscar made it seem like maybe he would be doing solo this year, but I was so pleased they gave me a second chance.
All right, so when they contact you, they said, we'd really love to have you do it. What did they say when they contacted
you? It was like, Art Auction is coming up. Will you guys MC again?
That's all you need.
Yeah.
That's the way to say, hey, we liked what you did. And if you like them and if the cause is good, that's what does it benefit? The Art Society or something
the Art
like
League
that?
Of Alexandria.
The Art League.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It's the patron show.
Yes.
And it's everyone who comes. There's a gallery set up within the Torpedo Factory that has about 600 pieces of art in it.
Right.
And we're talking everything. Sculpture, photography, painting, even like pottery stuff.
Ugly birds like that.
Hey! How dare you?
That's my sinister Beetlejuice bird.
Yeah.
That is a Beetlejuice bird. That's exactly what it is.
We should tell Mike how this is the first year we got, because it started a little later.
Right.
We got there early enough to look around and see what art we wanted.
Yeah, so every piece of art that's in this gallery has a number assigned to it. People come, they either look online or go in the gallery and write their numbers down. Then their name is called and they get to call out a number. And if your piece of art,
at that bird.
Yeah.
If your piece of art is still available, it will, you can claim it. And so we got there early enough that they cleared the gallery to set up. Oscar and I got to stay.
Yeah.
So we got to actually prowl the gallery by ourselves. It's normally
a private viewing, Mike.
It's normally
very
a crowded
exciting.
Mess.
Very, and very exciting.
There was a lot of neat things there. There was a huge papier-mâché giraffe that was a big mover. Yeah. And some paintings that were really cool. There was a painting.
Did you avoid alcohol this year?
I didn't have a drink because I went first. We sort of alternate who gets to go first and who gets to go second.
Which is the cherry gig, obviously.
Going first.
First is the cherry gig. And I'll get to go second next year.
No, I don't mind staying later. He's got a long drive, so. I left there after midnight on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know.
It's a long night.
Yeah. But the after auction
guys
is.
Guys are doing the Lord's
work. The after auction is a small joy because you get to literally be in a room with the pieces of art, let's say 20 or 30 pieces, and you get to auction it off to a room full of fun and hungry art people.
They're really going to bid.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And hungry and thirsty.
I got one coming up. It's been so long. I feel like I'm out of practice. I'm nervous.
I'm actually nervous.
I'll tell you the hardest thing about it.
If I can do it, you can do it all day.
The hardest thing about it is hearing. Sometimes when they're calling out their numbers, the hearing is tough, especially
at our advanced stage. I am coming up on one. I don't know what I hear is maybe this is different air. This is different rare.
Beluga caviar air?
Like beluga caviar. Here. I mean, I'm thinking about, would you like to know one of the items we're auctioning off? A Mercedes-Benz.
My Mercedes?
My Mercedes!
The weird thing is they're starting, the starting bid is
Pebble Beach?
$2.
$2. All I know is I'm already feeling fat. I'm already feeling fat. You know, that's like, oh, look at that fat disc jockey.
No, Mike.
You know, that type of
thing. You kill him with your wit.
Yeah.
You kill him with
your wit. I wish I wasn't so insecure, but I guess every performer's.
Yeah, wear black. You'll be okay.
And you know but it was a good evening. It was a good evening.
Great evening. It's fun because you really, when it goes fast, it really moves. What's not good is when there is a small technical snafu. They lost connection to the boat for one moment. And so.
That's right, because when you're talking about this auction down in Alexandria, Virginia, it's not like the boat is docked next to where you're doing it. The building is inside Alexandria, Virginia, and the boat is down on the river. It's not right next to each other.
Well, this is why Rob and I, and Mike, you commiserate, and Pony and Maddie now, where how do we communicate with the stage from the production van? Like, how do we do that from center stage or the sound booth?
It's tough.
So we always talk about this, and like, what is the most foolproof way? And for the Art League, out of respect to the directors, like, if we just had a hard line, a cable that went from here to there, it would be fine.
And they're close enough to the river, it could have been done.
Yeah, we're talking about maybe 200 yards, two XLRs, like all the way there, right?
Yeah, it is a boat, you know.
Yes. It is.
Who knows?
So, but the boat suggested that. But they went, they had to, so. They went wireless. And the only thing that saved the day in the long run was. So the initial walkie-talkies, the range, the water, and cell phones weren't working because spotty service on the water.
And also everyone, there's literally 800 people in the space, and they're all using their cell phones to track the art on the app. So they didn't have that going on when they were doing the test.
Yes.
Those pesky apps, ask the people of Iowa.
That's right.
So it worked out in the long run, but what saved the day, and I love seeing like a tech solution, where the industrial grade Mariner, actual waterway walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
Those had the range and clarity to get the art back and forth. The
stuff they use on tugboats.
Yes. Exactly. It's technology that's 40 years old. Yes. But like your name would come up. I'd say, Mike O'Mara,
278.
And I 278. And then art piece number 278 would go up on the big slide projector and everyone would go, boo.
But it was so much faster. But
he won. Like Mike O'Mara won the bid?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is everyone has a list of what they want, and the further the night goes on, the more of your choices get taken away from you. So when really
it's
notable
one
pieces
flat
of
art, fee, you get if so then it's a raffle on whose name gets picked first.
So it's basically a glorified raffle. You don't have to have people putting up hands for bids.
No.
Right?
So I remember
that's what I'm gonna have
remember
to do.
The first one, the unicorn that came out?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not a big unicorn guy, but like whoever won it. And then I went back to a friend who was more well-versed in, like, what's worth what, because he's been going for almost a decade now.
Right.
He's like, you know, that unicorn's probably worth thousands of dollars. And I said, I just We were just picking stuff we like. Look at Rob.
Yeah. Rob picked out. When we were in the gallery before picking out, I saw a lot of things I liked. There was some neat things. And then I saw this evil Beetlejuice bird. And I said, this is Julia all over. Because Julia has been to the auction three times.
Okay.
She loves it because she's, you know, art major. Yeah.
So that's going to make its way down to Virginia Commonwealth University.
I sent a picture of it to her. I said, got you a present at the auction. And she just replied with like 40 exclamation points.
Father of the year.
And I have to thank Oscar and Oscar's buddies actually, because when you're doing the auction, you can't really participate.
You can't keep track of the art that's gone.
They actually were able to secure our items for us. So can you mention them by name?
Well, that's good.
Kenny and Tracy were kind enough to do so. I said, hey, can you move 271, lot 271 to the top of our list if any of our names get picked? And it came up in the first round, and then
you got the bird.
Yeah. Got the bird. And that got a great reaction, too, because I think, I don't know if people thought, what idiot is going to get that? Or I wanted that, but when I put that up or that went up, they went, bah,
bah, bah. Someone said the pick literally saved a marriage because they were sitting next to a couple that where the husband wanted that bird. And there was a fight that was starting because the wife said, no way you're bringing that into our house.
That is not coming into my home. I am, you know, to be honest with you, looking at that bird, I'm surprised anybody really wanted it. But congratulations on the auction.
So happy.
That's awesome. Look at that. That's fantastic. We will come back and I'll give you a brief movie review because these have been out for a while. I've seen two movies recently. One I liked a lot, and neither one did I rave, but we'll see what happens we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Master, are you prepared to crush the Rebel Alliance?
I will be in a moment, but right now I'm updating my Mike O'Mara Show app.
Mike O'Mara Show app? What is it?
You have a mobile phone, right?
Sure.
Is it a smartphone?
Yes, of course.
What you must do is go to the App Store and type in TMOS and hit search.
But is it my destiny?
Yes. Yes. We love it.
Thank you very much. Type. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Untuckit. Do you ever wonder why traditional button-up shirts look so long and baggy? That's because they were never meant to be worn that way. Untuckit shirts were specifically designed to be worn untucked. It's the original untucked shirt, a modern solution to an old problem with no tucking or tailoring required. No matter your size, no matter your shape, their shirts are the perfect untucked length. I adore my Untuckit shirts, not too long, not too short, and the coolest designs on the net. I love the material and the colors. And with more than 50 fit combinations, Untuckit shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. You can find your favorite Untuckit style online or check out one of their 80 brick-and-mortar stores. Don't just take my word for it. Try Untuckit for yourself. Visit Untuckit.com and use the code TMOS for 20% off your first order. They even offer free shipping and returns on all orders in the U.S. That's UNTUCKIT.com. And promo code TMOS for 20% off your first order. Okay, movie time. Did a little movie. Been a long time since I've gotten to the cinema. We got our regular theater down here, and the guy, the manager, who we love, is really kind of a friend of ours that we go in, where have you been? Where have you been? Oh, sorry, I had an albatross call the house that I was trying to sell.
So he's not
been out there.
He's not like 15 like most movie managers.
No, he's actually a older guy really kind of loves movies, and he
that's
had a
nice
funny tie on. Just this dumb tie that said Tuesday on it. It was hysterical.
Like, he has a tie for every day.
I said Tuesday, happy Tuesday. And you know, we're looking around at all the sea of blue hair, all the people going, I wanted you. And then we watched the March of the Living Dead as we're sitting in the theater as they come. We went to see 1917.
Oh,
so it's not a stretch that you're going to get. Exactly. Yeah. They probably have grandparents that remember.
Sure.
And so they're marching in, and it's one of the things where Alamo Drafthouse has this, Rob, you know what I'm talking about, where you get your assigned seats. And when you buy your ticket, if you don't get them in advance, you pick out your seats on the thing. And
you
see
like that?
D1 and 2. Sure.
I do, too.
I like being able to pick my seat.
Course.
It's great. Yeah. But, you know, of course, the march comes in and then they don't, well, which one do we, which row? Gee, maybe the letter D
with the number
it's
one.
On the floor.
It's on the floor.
Yeah, and
it's
then you
on
go
the
to
chair.
Your aisle, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's gonna be. But we get in there and at this particular place we go to, it's the largest screen in the room. It's
nice.
Phenomenal. I'm saying I'm gonna see this epic 1917 on this screen. The sound, when you go into a movie theater, that's one of the giant screens, the old-fashioned, huge, maybe it's like an IMAX theater, and you've got that real sound. There's no television in the world that can duplicate that experience.
No, it's immersive because they've built the room around the sound, and that's so cool.
The editing of this movie where I think maybe Oscar might have given me the heads up on it, where it's one continuous shot or it's edited to look like one continuous shot was really an amazing technique. One that I had not seen. The acting was spectacular. Story was good. The whole thing, it moved quickly.
Minimal CGI.
Minimal CGI and riveting. I mean, riveting story from the very, very beginning. You're just and I think the movie running time might be like an hour and 40 minutes. It was like you're in and out. Yeah, you don't need to make a movie 2.5 hours long to make it entertaining. It was spectacular. Parasite, which I watched at home, was also a unique kind of movie with the subtitles. I just thought that Parasite at the end stretched in fact, all of Parasite might have stretched my believability a little bit. That was my one knock on
square footage or someone can live. Or
maybe just how it ends.
Oh, well, no, that was you're like, whoa.
It was like almost like I got to do something dramatic to end this and, you know, might as well.
If you didn't know that was going to happen, and I had it spoiled for me. So
and I didn't know it was going to happen. Yeah. But look, both these movies, the Academy Award winner and the one that was nominated for an Academy Award, they both hold my attention. That's pretty awesome.
Was Parasite the right length? I'm fascinated by the fact. Was it a little? I'm fascinated by the fact that a movie as big as 1917. You're the first person I've heard mention.
Double check the running time. Find out, Tony. Look up running time.
It's 2 hours. 2 hours, but it feels like 30 minutes.
1917 was 2 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought,
well, then that blows by.
It speaks well of the film.
It feels like it's only 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. So it wasn't that short. I thought it was shorter.
Well, that really is a compliment.
And it just goes. Just amazingly photographed. This is on the heels of the documentary that I saw when they redid all that footage from World War One, which was spectacular as well. And you know what little I know about World War One is that was one of the wars where modern technology began to creep into warfare, and you know, the old traditional way of fighting a war and the modern technology resulted in carnage like you wouldn't believe. Just bleak and horrible and trenches.
The German war machine.
And, you know, just the, you know, running across trenches and artillery and craters and nastiness. And you know, you walk away like any great war movie, in my humble opinion, you walk away saying to yourself, it's so stupid that we do this as a species, that we actually have this happen and that we can't figure out how to, you know, move around things like this. And it still goes on. And
they keep telling the story
to go on. But both movies, I give them a thumbs up. I would go see them. I like 1917 better, but Parasite was pretty unique.
2 hours and 12 minutes, the runtime for Parasite, Mike.
And 2 hours for 1917.
Yeah, 1917, I
imagine. Did Pony give me the number on 1917?
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody double check the number.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm the one that told you about the movie.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have heard about it.
You're the one that told me about the movie, and you're the one that told me it was one continuous shot, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Otherwise, Mike, how would you have ever heard about that little sleeper?
We will take a break.
1:59, Mike, to be technical.
Oh, really?
An hour and 59 minutes.
Well, he's right. It's 2 hours. All right. I'm just giving you a hard time. We'll come back with more fun on the Michael Murray Show, everybody.
Move over, Magic Mike, O'Mara. Chisel Chase is here and bringing his exotic dancing skills to Mama Chin's birthday party. We're also delivering roses not in the vase, but on your face. And the secret to getting into anyone's love box. So much to explain. Subscribe now to the Oh My Gov Show on YouTube or Apple Podcasts.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Zappos 2020.
Yes.
I'm loving this year already, and it's only going to get better. I ain't never been happier.
Ah!
Harrison. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait.
Oh, Zappos.
Yes.
Harrison Ford has a new movie coming out with a dog as his CGI sidekick. I wonder which one will be more lifelike. It's weird that you use that since that's in my first story. I got totally confused. Disney is finally unveiling wedding dresses inspired by Cinderella, Belle, and other princesses. And they come in my size. Take my money right now. Plus, the Summer Olympics hit Tokyo for the first time since 1964. That's over 100 years. Get ready for the heart-pounding excitement of men's and ladies' competitive rope making. Will Serbia get the silver again? Only time will tell. Just ask Richard Dick Enberg. 2020 also marks the 20th year that Zappos has been around. They love you at Zappos, and you're going to love them. 1,000 trusted brands, incredible customer service, a 24/7 friendly customer service, 365-day return policy, all of it. Thank you, Zappos. You make us look good all year long. Remember, only 157 days until the Summer Olympics begin. So go fetch the hemp. Am I right, ladies? Fetch the hemp.
Yeah, to
if
make
you
the
keeping
rope.
Track of that. Go ahead, fetch it. Fetch it good.
News.
Boo. Yeah, Harrison Ford. Here it is, right here. In my news you may not need. He admits that he eats a really boring diet these days. But he's pretty spry at the ripe old age of 77.
Wow.
On Ellen yesterday, he said, quote, "I'm eating practically nothing." It's my Harrison Ford impression.
I'm excited that he has this movie coming out because that means he'll be doing more media and he will make things uncomfortable on the major networks.
And I will be in the theater with my son for Call of the Wild. I will be there. "I'm eating practically nothing. I eat vegetables and fish." He also cut out meat and dairy. He added, quote, "I just decided I was tired of eating meat. And I know it's not really good for the planet, Mr. President. It's not really good for me. Harrison Ford, I think I'll fly my plane into a golf course." Thank you.
You can go back to Air Force One with the CGI where things just sort of were translucent. It's on the screen, the horrible CGI ever.
He's standing at
how
the door.
"How dare you, Mr. President?
Get off my plane." You're like, how did you not get sucked out?
Exactly. What's going on there?
"Get off my plane." Speaking of old actors, 79-year-old Al Pacino recently broke up with his 43-year-old girlfriend. Well, actually, she broke up with him.
Oh, no. Mm.
Would you like to know why?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Well, because she's spilling all of it. Her name is Michael Dohan, and she's an actress from Israel. She says their 36-year age gap just became too much for her. Quote, "It's hard to be with a man so old, even Al Pacino. Isn't she nice?"
What a nice lady.
"The age gap is difficult, yes," she says. "I tried to deny it, but now he is already an elderly man, to be honest. So even with all my love, it didn't last." She's mean.
Oh, even with all of her love? Nasty. Can she deliver on a deadline?
Can you deliver on a deadline? Hey. All
right. I pooped all over myself here.
Al's not just old, by the way, according to her. He's also cheap. Okay, he did something to piss her off.
Oh, my God.
That's not nice.
She says, quote, "He only bought me flowers. How can I say politely that he didn't like to spend money?" She sounds like a real gem, doesn't she?
Yeah, winner. Yeah.
What do you want? An Aston Martin? How about a nice daffodil?
She could date Harrison Ford.
"I don't understand, Mr. President."
What do you mean you don't understand? They all understand. You understand. The whole world understands.
Yet after throwing him under the bus, she adds that it was an honor to be part of his legacy, and she hopes they remain good friends.
Liar.
F her.
How is that possible after you say that?
That's mean. She was mean.
Also, maybe
Team Al.
Maybe he's cheap because he's been burned so many times.
That's right.
He would only buy me flowers.
That's all.
Sounds like he was a nice guy buying flowers, you know?
Yeah.
You know. By the way, I know another young bride who has a cheap husband.
He's sitting right here.
Not even flowers?
Yeah, I buy flowers.
That's
yeah,
good.
Very sweet. I buy flowers. I'm not. Ben Affleck says his divorce from Jennifer Garner is, quote, the biggest regret of my life. Well, I agree with Ben. Mm-hmm. Ben also admits that his failing marriage led him to relapse into alcohol abuse. Quote, I drank relatively normally for a long time. What happened was that I started drinking more and more when my marriage was falling apart. This was 2015, 2016. My drinking, of course, created more marital problems. Fear of another relapse may also be why he ultimately bailed on what would have been his third Batman movie. He says, quote, I showed somebody the script and they said, I think the script is good. I also think you'll drink yourself to death if you go through what you just went through again. Does that mean go through the marriage or go through the Batman?
Maybe the Batman process.
I don't know. But I don't know what it is. I'm always been in love with Jennifer Garner. I think she's she looks fantastic. She always looks great. And she seems like a nice person.
Also, dealing with this, with the disease publicly, mm-hmm. like your ups and downs.
Yeah.
And look, and you've divorced... America's sweetheart, technically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tough life for old Ben. But you know what? Ben's still out there getting it done. I saw a great trailer for one of his new movies.
Redemption Story.
Coming out there. Yep. Redemption Story looks really, really good. So, you know, whatever. Judge not lest ye be judged.
Here.
Unless you're Al Pacino.
Or Harrison Ford.
Or Harrison Ford. Mr. President, how dare you? Pretty easy for me to do those old guy impressions now.
Fantastic.
Remember when they made the do not call list, and even after you signed up, you still got calls from telemarketers, scammers, robocallers? Well, in theory, you could sue over those calls, but most of us don't really know how to do that. So this could be the answer. A company called Do Not Pay just released a new product called Robo Revenge to help you trap robocallers and instantly sue them.
Hey!
Hello! If you sign up, they give you a burner credit card. And the next time you get an unsolicited call, you pretend you're interested and use the burner card to pay. That charge gives Robo Revenge a way to trace who's behind the call. They then instantly sue them on your behalf for up to $3,000 per call under the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. Sign me up.
This is fantastic.
The only downside is that it'll only work for companies that are based in the U.S., not the scam calls from Russia, Nigeria, or anywhere else internationally. But still, this seems like a better idea than just hanging up on a robocall. The Mike O'Mara Show makes no claim about whether this is legit or not. It is simply a news story because I smell some hinky potential.
And how really are do. People really getting scammed anymore when now your iPhone will actually ring and say spam risk?
Yeah, well, sometimes it does.
Sometimes.
But I get a lot that I got one during the show.
I get an unavailable. And I'm like, oh, no. Is that my dad?
Also, if you are enthusiastic when you agree with them, as I sometimes am when I'm just looking for fun, they get suspicious and hang up. The best thing to say, my new thing to say to a robocall or a spam caller is, thank God you've called.
Yeah, that makes them suspicious.
They don't like that.
That's awesome. Let me see. A woman in Chandler, Arizona. Oh, where's my little
thing? Chandler.
Yeah. My computer is so being a bitch to me today. It's terrible. A woman in Chandler, Arizona recently tweeted a 3-second video where she's taking a bath in hot Cheetos.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah. Like the bathtub is full of water and hot Cheetos. The woman is also holding a champagne glass filled with a red liquid that appears to be hot Cheeto bathwater. And now the video is going viral. There's a lot of unpacking in that short video. Although one of the main questions keeps coming up over and over, and it has to do with the effect of the Cheetos on her more sensitive body parts. The woman tweeted yesterday, never would have thought that my vagine would be the talking point of Twitter, but yet here we are. Well, that's what you hoped for.
Yeah, of course.
By getting into a bathtub with water and Cheetos, hot Cheetos.
Yeah, but, she likes that the hot water, chip.
From a scientific standpoint, would the water neutralize the actual acidity of the Cheeto?
It might very well, right. Or
would
it
dilute
might
not. It would dilute it, certainly.
I'll tell you one thing. You never get the stain out of your hoo-hoo. That's for sure. And now...
and quote him.
That's my favorite line. Might be the title of today's show, Stain Out of the Hoo-Hoo.
How would Harrison Ford say that?
She took a bath in hot Cheetos.
and never got the stain out of her hoo-hoo.
How can I marry her if she's got a stain on her hoo-hoo?
Now there's a little something yes. here. A 36-year-old woman, her name is Saloni Katarpal. She's from Jackson Township, Ohio. And yes, at age 36, her parents were still paying for her cell phone. They finally cut her off on Thursday, so she called 911 to demand that the cops go to her house because her parents cut off her cell service. The cops told her to call 911 only for legitimate emergencies, but she kept calling back. Mm. They finally went to her house and arrested her for disrupting public services, which is a felony. The cops say she was, quote, belligerent
yes.
when they arrested her. And she really thought her parents cutting off her phone service was a legitimate emergency. Pony did the same thing when his mother wouldn't let him use the Virginia Beach house. Remember that arrest? That was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Belligerent.
So what a scene that was. But at least you quit smoking.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. We will take, and it's an hour and 59 minutes, Pony.
That's right.
An hour and 50, and you did recommend it. There we go. 1917. Count on it. Count on it. It'll please you from the top of your head to the tip of your hoo-hoo. We'll take a break and have more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Hello, friends. Jeff Goldblum here. How are you? Yeah, you're great. I know you are. You're looking at me like that. Listen, I love to listen to the Mike O'Mara Show on my Alexa, but I'm scared of it. Yeah, I'm scared. It makes me nervous. It's like it's watching me. But really, if you're not as scared as I am, well, first of all, congratulations to you. And tell Alexa to play the Mike O'Mara Show. And Bob's your uncle. Still terrified. Jeff Goldblum checking out. All right. I never appreciated my own Jeff Goldblum impression.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Heard a recording of it. That was fun. I like that. Bonus package read. That's my turn to talk to you about bonus package.
Of course. Thank you. Time to get the word out.
Do you love archery?
Yes.
Of course. We all do. But it's such a struggle to get your equipment to the practice range in one trip. Don't you wish there was a sleek, easy way to carry all your archery bric-a-brac in a method designed by a journalist that could allegedly be Frank Sinatra's son? Your day has come. All you need is the Ronin Farrow narrow arrow barrow. He may be stretching it now, I think. I'm not
this
sure.
is done during the day sober.
Yeah.
Yes, a streamlined wheelbarrow that is 100% ideal for archery transport. The Ronin Farrow narrow arrow barrow. Think of the time and effort it will save all the archers in your life. Used by delighted bowmen like Clarence Darrow, Jack Sparrow, Leather Tuscadero, Jay Farrow, Charo, Mike O'Mara, Christina Aguilera, Alfonso Ribeiro, Robert De Janeiro,
Mero,
Cesar Romero, the mayor of Estero, Geraldine Ferraro, and El Gato and El Sombrero.
That's the cat in the hat.
They all love the Ronin Farrow and narrow arrow barrow. Hit the bullseye of value, and then get to the dead center of comedy by listening to the TMOS Bonus Show, which really this is what this is about.
It is.
Just click the banner on our website and access all of the bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. It's your passport to the Asport.
Yes.
Copyright TMOS 2020. Buy the Bonus Show, MikeOmaraShow.com. That's the target of the Ronin Farrow era. Buy the Bonus Show at MikeOmaraShow.com. That's the target of the Ronin Farrow narrow arrow barrow Ronin Farrow.
Right.
When he says Mamma Mia, he really means it.
What? Get it? Because his mom is Mia Farrow.
Oh, Mia Farrow. Yes.
Mamma Mia.
Thank you very much, Liz. Jesus Christ. Let's open up the audio vault and I'm going home.
She was
I knew he'd lead with it.
The
I knew
sassy
lead
neighbor,
with it.
Mike.
Right.
She was Wilona. Jeanette Dubois passed at the age of 74. But here's something that I had in the back of my head that I had forgotten. While she was known for playing the neighbor,
she was a hottie.
She was a hottie, but do you know she sang lead on this? Mm-hmm. Well, we're
moving on now. We're moving on. Oh, that's her?
Yeah, she sang lead on the theme to the Jeffersons.
One of the great television themes of all time. That's
I agree. Her? Yeah.
Not enough people knew that. Yeah. Like, I didn't
Can
know
you
that
play a little
I
more of
yesterday.
This? Yeah. That's yeah. a nice tribute to her. This is great. Here we go. Hit. Beans don't fry in the kitchen. A bean don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big leagues. Getting our turn at best. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Forever moving on up. We'll play the whole thing. This is great. Such a great, great voice. Big finish.
And I think it's a fitting tribute when they did.
That's a great tribute, Rob. I didn't know that. I gave you a hard time earlier.
When they did the live version of the Jeffersons, they brought in Jennifer Hudson to sing the theme. And that's pretty... Pretty high praise when you bring in a
it
voice
is.
That big to
yeah,
replace her.
It's a tremendously well sung mm-hmm. record. It really is.
New Guinness record was broken yesterday. Fastest person to break 100 balloons using only their feet.
Wow.
He did it in under 24 seconds. Congratulations, David Rush.
3, 2, 1, go.
Sounds like fireworks.
Yeah, it does. Or gunshots.
Or a handgun.
23-69.
Come on! Is he stomping them or cutting them with his nails?
You set your mind to go. Believe in yourself. Pursue with a passion. You can accomplish anything.
Yeah, you can pursue anything.
Is that what he was saying, the guy that did it?
I'm an
you can accomplish anything. God, what a dip. Jeez.
What about a PhD, sir?
God. If you put your mind to it, you pursue your path. You know, they wonder why we're mocked in the world.
Exactly.
That's why.
Exactly.
You know, so is that what he really said after he jumped on some balloons?
He was heady with excitement because he had gotten in under 24 seconds. Congratulations, David Rush.
Whatever.
Making America great again.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. Wow.
I'll close with this. I find it hard to hate Justin Timberlake. Very talented. He has a sense of...
You find it hard to have him, probably the same reason I do. He's funny.
He's funny.
He's a funny guy.
Great sense of humor about himself.
Exactly.
And this is a very entertaining story he told about the best and worst charity event he ever worked. Okay. He said it was great because all the people he worked with.
I show up to the show. I look at the bill, and it's the Rolling Stones and AC/DC and the Guess Who, and somewhere in there, me. And... We came on stage, and all of a sudden, from the first two rows, bottles of urine were then thrown on the stage. It wasn't always good times for me, you guys.
That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Wednesday. And you know, we didn't get any of that at the art auction.
No.
They were very nice. Very nice.
He's got the comedy gene. He knows what's funny and how to do it. It wasn't all good times for me. That's just so understated. I love that. That's great. I enjoyed that. Well, congratulations to Julia and her bird. It's
Sinister Bird.
Beautiful. Have we named it?
I called it Beetlejuice, but I think she'll probably give it another name.
Yeah, let her name it.
Yeah, she gets home in a couple weeks for spring break, and I can present it to her.
It's Fragile.
It is Fragile.
Yes.
Thank you all very much. We will be back tomorrow with another brand new show for Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, Matty Masiello, Ponyboy Matt Bloom, and everybody associated with the Mike O'Mara Show, especially all of you listeners. This is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Oh, it looks good on you, though.
What the hell is this?
That's a Sicilian message.
That means a little brassy sleeps with the fishes.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Ha, 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 Ernie, ha, ha.